Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
Tonight, we're going to be continuing in James, the book of James. We're going to be in chapter 1, verses 9, 10, and 11. Tonight, James chapter 1, verses 9, 10, and 11. We're continuing to look at the theme in chapter 1 about trials. Now, when we read the passage tonight, the first thing that may come to mind is how does this passage fit inside of the thought of trials? Well, we're going to look at that. We're going to answer that question, and I hope we're going to answer many more. We're going to see how James addressed the church in his day, and we're going to continue to look at how it affects you and I and the church today. James chapter 1, beginning with verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. But the rich, in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. So as I said, the theme of riches and poverty that we see here as an introduction, and it is an introduction, because if you have ever read the book of James from cover to cover, you will have seen that riches and poverty are contrasts that are shown throughout the book. This is the beginning of it, and it continues on through because it is such a good illustration, and that's what James is using it as. It is an illustration to show a contrast. In reality, we have a contrast of good and evil. We have a contrast of God and Satan. We have a contrast of right and wrong. We have a contrast of righteousness and unrighteousness. And how do you sum all of that up into something that everyone can relate to? James has found it in riches. Riches and poverty. No greater and no more obvious thing can someone use to show, to illustrate all of these things that we just talked about and just mentioned than riches and poverty, because we can all relate to it. We can all relate. By any stretch of the imagination, when we look at ourselves tonight, we find ourselves wealthier than some, and we find ourselves poorer than some. We find ourselves blessed beyond measure, and we find ourselves in areas and times of need. That is the contrast that James is putting together tonight. Since it was a very real circumstance in the church in James's day, poverty and wealth, and I believe that that idea of poverty and wealth is a vivid illustration of nothing more than attitude. Nothing more than a person's walk with God. How do they perceive themselves? How do they perceive others? When we think of a person of poverty, a poor person, one thing that needs to come to our mind is the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus said. The poor in spirit. Those that are in need. Those that see themselves in the light that they really are spiritually. That they have a spiritual need. They are humble. Let the brother of low degree the one who sees himself or herself exactly as God sees them. When we think of ourselves and how we line up with other people as far as wealthy or poor or in need or not, we need to stop and think spiritually how God sees us. Because it's easy to compare ourselves to others spiritually. Well, I'm a pastor. I study. I put this much time in. I do. And others don't. So that makes me this. It makes me a Pharisee to think like that. Just as it does any Christian, any church member. For us to put ourselves upon a pedestal and for us to compare ourselves to others and say, because I do this and you don't, it makes me to this level. It makes me better. That is the part of the illustration that James is using. If we think of ourselves as wealthy, or we think of ourselves as richer, we think of ourselves better off spiritually than others, then we're putting ourselves on a pedestal and saying we are the wealthy ones. James is saying, brother, notice brother of a low degree. He's talking about a kindred person. James is not only speaking to the church spiritually, James is speaking to them as someone just exactly like them, of a low degree. He is telling the church members and he's telling the Christians not to worry about your financial situations, not to worry about that thing, but look at yourself spiritually. How does God see you? God sees every one of us in need of a Savior. God sees each and every one of us as unrighteous. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. There is none righteous. No, not one, he says. We are all of a low degree. It doesn't matter what the bank account says. It doesn't matter what the portfolio says. It doesn't matter what the 401k says. It doesn't matter what the pension fund says. It doesn't matter about any of that. We are all of a low degree. But notice something interesting for all of us in a low degree. He says, rejoice in that He is exalted. Those of us who realize where we stand before God and where we stand in God's eyes, we realize that we have something to be to rejoice over, and that is Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ that gives us the ability and gives us the glory and gives us what we need to be able to rejoice. Because while we may be low, we may be of a low degree, we may be of in spiritual need, we may have no righteousness, we may have nothing like that going on in our own lives individually, we have Jesus. And because of Jesus, we can be exalted. Not because we deserve it, but because Jesus imputed His righteousness to you and I. It was because of His experience. And Jesus knew exactly what we feel. He knew exactly how we feel, and He knew exactly what we deal with every day. Jesus came to this earth incarnate. Again, He wasn't born. Jesus came incarnate. God showed up in the flesh of a human being. And He grew up and He was raised up and He lived a life, a sinless life in a sinful world, dealing with the same trials and the same tribulations and the same difficulties that you and I deal with on a daily basis. Jesus experienced those in His life. And since Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, God experienced those very same trials and God overcame them. He overcame them through Christ. And because of that, when Christ has imputed His righteousness upon us, we have something to rejoice in. We have something to celebrate because there is victory in Jesus Christ. You may not be able to defeat your enemies. You may not be able to take care of those insurmountable, difficult things that keep coming up in your life. You may not be able to deal with those things. But God can. God is big enough. He is exalted. And because He is exalted, His testimony, His victory, everything that He stands for, everything that He does is exalted through your life. Your life is a victory in Jesus Christ. Your life is. That's how important you are to God. That's how important those folks that are lost tonight out here in our communities, out here in the bars tonight, out here running up and down the roads doing whatever they're doing, those that are hidden away in their homes looking at the pornography, those that are that are dealing with adultery and fornication tonight, those folks are just as loved of God as you and I are loved of God. The only difference is we as born-again children of God have something to rejoice in, and that is our salvation that we find through Christ. Yet they are in need. They are in need of a lot of things in their life, but all of those things come through one thing, and that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Without that relationship with Christ, there is no riches. I should say there are no riches. There are no riches without Christ. The money doesn't matter. It's going to fade away. As a matter of fact, do you realize that about 70% of the wealth in America is artificial? It's nothing more than a bunch of numbers in a computer. There's no cash to cover it. There is only cash to cover about 30% of the actual wealth that's recorded in the stock market. The rest of it is just numbers. It's just exchanged from one computer and one bank to another. There's absolutely no liquid assets to do away with. Just as the numbers on the stock market increase, the perception of wealth increases, and the people who have that perception of wealth live on credit. And then when those numbers decrease, the perception of that wealth decreases, but the credit still becomes due. That's why people crash. That's why they go bankrupt when the stock market crashes. Because everything they're living on is credit. It's all an illusion. And that is all everything that man builds is. Everything that we build is an illusion. All of the riches that we have are illusions. Everything that we create on our own is an illusion. It is something that is fake, something that is made up, something that makes it look good on the outside, but the inside is still rotten. The inside is still corrupt. That is why when James talks about the contrast between riches and poverty, he goes on to say, but the rich. There is that funny little word again, but. Again, I'll tell you, anytime you see that word, anytime you see that little word, but, realize there's getting ready to be a 180-degree turn in what's being talked about. If it was grace and mercy and the love of Christ that was being talked about, the word but is going to turn it into evil and corruption and sin. If it was evil and corruption and sin, when you hear the word but, Jesus and glory and those things are going to be talked about. Whatever it is that's being talked about, that word but is going to turn it into the opposite direction. But the rich, in that he is made low. That person who embraces the illusion that they have or are something better than what they really are. That they have more than someone else. That they have better than someone else. That they are somehow better than or more blessed than someone else. The one who thinks of themselves as rich, whether it is financially, whether it is spiritually, whether it is socially, whatever it may be, they think of themselves in a greater degree, they will be made low. It doesn't matter what their name is. It doesn't matter what their affiliation to a church is. It doesn't matter what their financial status is. They will be made low. They will be humbled. In a nutshell, we could say it like this tonight. Each and every one of us is going to be humbled in our life. We are going to be humbled as a servant of God, bought by the blood of Christ, redeemed to see ourselves as God sees us, or we are going to be humbled through God's judgment. And I'm not talking about the great white throne judgment, and I'm not talking about anything of that nature. I'm talking about God getting to a point where He says, that person is going to have to learn a lesson. Call it chastisement, if you will, tonight, if that makes it a little easier to understand. We will be humbled through chastisement, or we will be humbled through the blood of Christ. But we will be humbled. One way or the other. There are some folks walking around tonight who think very highly of themselves. There are some folks walking around tonight that feel like they don't need God. They feel like God needs them. There are folks walking around tonight that doesn't feel like they need the church. I don't need that church. I don't need that crowd of people. I don't need them in my life. I don't want them telling me what I need to do and what I don't need to do. I don't need this. I don't need that. I've got my life under control. They need me. There are folks walking around with that attitude. The attitude of the rich. And they will be humbled. So we see James taking this whole thing of the rich and the poor. And he brings it down into an agricultural term. He draws a picture of a flower garden, if you will. Because as the flower of the grass, he, the rich, shall pass away. Now when we think about spring, and that's a pleasant thought tonight with it being in the 30s outside, nice and the biting wind that we have stirring. We think about the springtime and the grass and the flowers and everything is bloomed pretty. But then as springtime passes and moves along, what happens? Summertime moves in. Well then, what happens? When I read that, I think of the flower of the morning glory. And some of you who have done gardening in your time, you know what I'm talking about. You've got that little flower of the morning glory about daylight when you're getting outside and you're in the garden. And in the cool of the morning, you've got these real pretty flowers that are bloomed out. They look really, really nice. They're really pretty. But then as it gets hot during the day, they close up and they wither and they fall away. That's what James is talking about. He says that is going to be the fate of the rich man. They're going to look pretty for a while. But then when things get hot, when God turns up the heat of chastisement, when God turns up the heat of His judgment, when God turns up the heat of His expectations, things are just going to start fading and they're going to start falling away. The sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass and the flower falleth. And the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. It may look good right now, church. this whole rich man mentality may look really good tonight. Get it while you can. Go get all into this power and popularity and prosperity thing. Get all of the power and all of the influence and all of the authority that you want. Whether it is in the world with the job markets, whether it is in the financial markets, whether it is in the corporate world, whether it is in the church. It looks really nice tonight to make yourselves look good and to be puffed up. To be that rich person. Be that person that everything is measured against. It looks really good. But then, it's going to perish. And what happens? What happens when the real nice outer coverings are taken off? What happens when everything that you've built yourself up to be is revealed to be an illusion? What happens when God reveals the reality, the real you? What happens when God brings you down low? There's two choices. There is the repentance of grace, or there is perishing. Perishing. Do we really want to think about that? Do we really want to deal with perishing? God doesn't want us to. God has sent us Jesus Christ so that we can humble ourselves in front of Him. So that we can humble ourselves to Him and we can see ourselves as God sees. And then we can see ourselves as God sees us through Jesus Christ. We embrace Jesus Christ tonight. And if we continue to do that, and if we do it sincerely, and if we do it genuinely, we have everything to hold on to. We have everything to rejoice over. But if it too is part of our illusion, then we're fooling no one but ourselves. Where do we stand? We're getting closer and closer to Christmas. We're seeing all of the gifts and all of the ideas and the thoughts and the movements and everything that's going on at Christmas time with the corporate rushes and everything of that nature. But when we stop and we think about the riches of glory, God sent the richest, most wealthiest possession He had, the most valuable possession He had, He sent to earth in a feed trough, a manger. Jesus could have came to this earth in the home of a Pharisee. Jesus could have came to this earth in the home of a wealthy king. Jesus could have came to this earth in any fashion that God would have chose to have made Him incarnate. But God chose poverty because it was a picture of humility. It was a very vivid picture of humility. And that's who Jesus was. Jesus was God that had humbled Himself to a low estate for our benefit. And as we think about that tonight, as we think about it the rest of this week, let's take these three verses and let's put ourselves in this place and let's think, are we the person of low degree that has something to be rejoicing over? Or are we that rich person that's living the life of an illusion of our own Christ?